Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
A painting in the world's famous Paris Museum has been targeted in an attempted attack. A woman tried to throw soup at a painting at a museum in Paris in a similar attack to others by climate activists. Now, the interesting thing is it doesn't say what kind of soup, which is obviously going to be the first question. I know a lot of people would say, what's the painting? I want to know what kind of soup. But that's, I guess, not, that's really not the direction that I want this conversation to go. I really don't understand this. It's something that is absolutely beyond me, how destroying things of beauty is meant to send a message. I've said destroy things of beauty is meant to send a message about not destroying the world, which is a thing of beauty as well. How does that help the cause? Now, I really do not understand it. For the life of me, it's perplexing. But we wanted to ask somebody who is involved in this field, Dominique Naidu, an environmentalist, environmental activist and a writer. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
Good morning, sir. I'm good. How are you doing?
I am a well, thank you. So can you give us a little bit, first of all, what's the background here? How did this, strategy, I guess, or technique develop? When did this all start?
It's like a form of marketing. You do something big to get people's attention. But, I just wanted to revisit what you said about them wanting to destroy the paintings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume that they knew that the paintings are protected, okay? Because now the paintings were actually destroyed because they are protected quite well.
Right.
Yeah, so I think it was just a gimmick to get people's attention. And it worked, you know? So if it's being spoken about, whether in a good way or in a bad way, it's still being spoken about. And the idea of it is out there. I personally don't agree with the methods being used.
Right.
But I understand the frustrations of where these young climate activists are coming from.
So can you talk to that? Because I genuinely don't. Well, it's not that I don't understand frustration. Of course I understand frustration. Of course I understand people that care about the planet, as I guess we all do, but we all have our things that we care more about. I might be more passionate about one cause than you another, and that's really cool, and that's important, because we all need causes that we're passionate about. That's what makes the world a beautiful place. But at the same time, if somebody like me, who's maybe a little bit more, neutral, let's say, on the subject, how does it help me to talk about it if I see this in a negative light?
Well, that's a good question.
So it does raise awareness, of course. You and I are having this conversation, and at some part of this conversation, I'm going to be asking you about what the greatest challenges are about the climate change and climate activists. So we are going to be talking about that. So yes, I get that part, but it certainly, I've come into the conversation already feeling negatively predisposed to a conversation, yeah. Whereas I don't need to be. I shouldn't have been, if you understand what I mean.
You spoke about raising awareness, and
yes.
I don't think it's at that point now, because people have been talking about climate change from the 80s and 90s. It's been a thing. You know? So if you don't know what climate change is, then you've been living under a rock.
Right.
I'm sorry to say.
Yes, yes.
But it's been around for a very long time.
Sure.
So it's not really about, at this point, raising awareness. It's about, I think, more about raising awareness of how bad the situation currently is. Because, for example, okay, because I write a lot about this.
Yes.
On my own. And you look at the nationally determined contributions that we agreed upon last year in Glasgow at the COP26.
Yes.
So these are basically what nations have promised to do to reduce their carbon emissions.
Mm.
And those agreements still don't, they still push us above the 1.5 degrees threshold that we can go over. So currently it's taking us over 2.5 degrees. And those pledges were made last year, 26 years of negotiations and discussions has led to those. So you can understand the frustrations of these youth, because we are going to be living with it for the next 30, 40 years when we're seeing the impacts, when our leaders that are making these decisions today are going to be long gone. You know, so it's easy to make a decision today when you're not going to be here.
Right.
So that's why we're seeing these frustrations. And then recently you see BP post over £1 trillion profit. And when you see things like that, you're like, okay, we can use this money to help countries get on track. But no, it's more of a profit thing, because why would BP want to help countries get off oil?
Right.
You see all those frustrations building up, yeah. But I would like to think that those climate activists knew that those paintings could not be damaged, and that's why they did that. Because if they were damaged, they were worth millions and millions of pounds, and then there would be a different story, yeah. So I think this was just to raise awareness and not to actually do any physical damage.
Which, as you say, they shouldn't have to do, because people are aware. So it's almost as though if you're looking at it from a marketing perspective and everybody's aware of your product, then maybe you've got to, you want to go with a different angle. Maybe the attack, in inverted commas, or the approach needs to be more to government than to people in general, or is the idea for people to become?
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. For me, if I wanted to do something like that, throw tomato soup on a painting, or something, I would go actually to a politician's home and, you know, throw the soup on his door. I think you might get the same amount of attention, if not more.
Right. And maybe even a little bit more support, depending on what people felt about that particular politician.
Exactly.
You know, is this organized? Is this, you know, we're seeing this at certain places across Europe. Is this one group, or is this now, can we expect somebody in South Africa to be inspired by this, a climate activist here, and walk into a gallery here and to do the same?
You know, I'm not going to say that it's going to inspire someone here to do that.
No, you've already said you don't agree with the approach. So, you know, it's very clear. So I'm not suggesting that you would be saying that to encourage people, but I'm just curious as to how you think this will evolve.
They are all international groups, and they usually work on one way of doing things. So yeah, if there's a group here based at home in SA, they most likely would follow the same footsteps as the European groups.
Right.
Although
one of our listeners saying, well, what would we maybe throw Boerewors rather? Being South African. Yeah, I think, you know, my problem, and I do apologize to you, Dominic, that my listeners are really, really very poorly behaved. So, you know, we're trying to have these serious conversations and they don't know how to respond to it. And that's not shouting at you, Dominic. It's shouting at Charles and all the rest of them, who all, I can see on the SMS line, they're debating what foods we would throw here in South Africa. There's something wrong with them. I'm telling you, you know, we're trying to have a serious conversation. Actually, interestingly enough, once I have you on the line, there was I saw a glimpsed an article saying that because of the Eskom disaster and because of our need to find alternative supplies or a supply of energy and our move to solar here in South Africa, we've actually really accelerated some of the good work that we should have been doing a long time ago in terms of sustainable and clean energy. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, definitely. Hey, but you look at the cost of it, and we have this thing in this country where we have to see change happen right now. And so it's very difficult to look at the future, let's say 2 decades, 3 decades, where we'd actually be seeing the difference in terms of cost of wind and solar and hydro. Because coal, it's free for the country, you know, because it's in the ground. We just need to take it out. Solar, there is an initial investment.
Sure.
But if you look at it after that, there's very little input
required
from solar. Yeah. And then, you know, if you're getting into more technical stuff, our grid is not built for renewables.
Right, that is true.
You know, I'm not going to get into that.
Yes.
People can look it up, but so we need to change the grid a bit to get solar in
Absolutely right.
A much higher quantity than we are using it right now.
Dominic Naidu, environmental activist and a writer, speaking to us about these recent attacks at museums by climate change activists. I'd love your reaction, your thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. Ronnie says, I think in South Africa, maybe it would have been a chakalaka. I don't know what to do with you guys. You know, this is why we can't, what's it? Have nice things. Mukundi, you were saying that yesterday. Is that the expression?
This is exactly why we can't have nice things.
This is why we can't have nice things, because we try and have these conversations about activists throwing food stuff and soups and stuff. Look, I was curious what kind of soup it was. I have to be honest. I really was. And then now you are debating what the food would be if it were in South Africa.